He slightly raised his right hand, which was bound at the wrist by the shining bracelet, to the left one of his partner. The happy look in the woman's eyes slowly changed to one of puzzled horror. The glow faded from her cheeks. Easton, with a little laugh, as if amused, was about to speak again when the other stopped him. The sad-faced man had been watching the young woman's face with his sharp, searching eyes. "You'll excuse me for speaking, miss, but I see you know the marshal here. If you'll ask him to speak a word for me when we get to the pen, he'll do it. It'll make things easier for me there. He's taking me to Leavenworth Prison. It's 7 years for counterfeiting."
"Oh," she said with a deep breath and returning color.
"So that is what you are doing out here, a marshal." "My dear Miss Fairchild," said Easton calmly, "I had to do something. Money has a way of taking wings. You know, it takes money to keep in step with our crowd in Washington. I saw this opening in the West, and, well, a marshal isn't quite as high a position as that of an ambassador, but—"
"The ambassador," she said warmly, "doesn't call anymore. He needn't ever have done so. You ought to know that. So now you are one of these dashing Western heroes, and you ride and shoot and go into all kinds of dangers. That's different from the Washington life. You have been missed by the old crowd."
The woman's eyes, interested, went back, widening a little, to rest upon the shiny handcuffs.
"Don't you worry about them, miss," said the other man. "All marshals handcuff themselves to their prisoners to keep them from getting away. Mr. Easton knows his business."